This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome inside our first Masters recap show of the week. You've seen us throughout the nights, throughout the mornings on TSN, throughout the week. Adam Scully alongside Mark Sacchino. No Bob Weeks today, as Bob is making his way back from the Masters. Mark, we haven't seen each other in about 12 hours. How are you this morning?
Yeah, that's about it, right? 12 hours. You know, we didn't go months. We haven't seen each other in person, and now we are on top of each other in the studio. But that's good. I had a great week, Skulls, you know, working with you as always, working with Lindsay, all the team behind the scenes, the big Masters team. It's a much larger footprint for golf than we have at basically any other time of the year. You know, moving forward with the other majors, we'll go to like a very small team. And of course, Golf Talk Canada team is always working weekly. But the Masters is a different animal, isn't it?
Yeah, totally different animal. It's great to, I mean, have the coverage that we have for the TSN at the Masters coverage during the morning, the feature holes, the feature groups, Amen Corner, etc. And then I have to say, I love the segment that you and Lindsay did yesterday morning. It kind of broke the internet a little bit. I was, you know, I've been impressed with you. When we won the Toronto Hunt member guest, I haven't mentioned that on the air in a while that we won that, by the way.
It's been at least a month, I would imagine.
Oh, wow. At least a month. But I mean, you went through the last 20 Masters champions in less than 20 seconds. Okay, so what went through? How did you guys decide to do this?
So Lindsay says to me, you know, because we sit around a lot, right? Waiting to figure out what we're going to talk, like, you know, Kirby or Mark or Daniel, like someone will say, okay, guys, in like 30 minutes, we're going to come to you guys for a 3-minute chat. And think about what you want to talk about, or this is what we want to talk about. You never know. It depends on the day. But most of the time, you're waiting. So Lindsay says, on Sunday, we got to do something for social media. I said, okay. I didn't know what. So she comes in, and she says to me, can you name the last 20 Masters champions? I said, oh, yeah, that no problem. I could probably name the last 30 or 40. I might screw up one or two, but I could probably go back to the early 80s. And then once I get into the 70s, it's going to be a problem. You know, I was born in 75, so that ain't going to really work, right? But she goes, really? I go, yeah. She goes, can you name the last 20 in 20 seconds? I went, oh, boy, I don't think so. She goes, you got to give it a shot. This will work for social media. I said, so I started thinking about it. So first I got the last 20 in my head. I went, okay, I think that's right. And then I said, okay, I'm not going to use full names because there's no way. If I say Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Charles Schwartzel, there's no way. So I'm just going to go with nicknames, Phil, Tiger, Zach, Trevor, Cabrera, you know. And I figured if I just use the one word, I can do it. And sure enough, it actually came in at like 17.9 something or 18 points. It was crazy. I was surprised I did it. I knew I could do the 20 in a row, no problem. I didn't think I could do it in under 20. I thought I would hesitate, stumble, and I don't know if you saw on Schwartzel, I paused. I blanked on Schwartzel. I'm like, and then I pulled it from the brain. But yeah, it was fun, but it hurt at the end. My brain was sore. It was thumping.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great segment. I think we're going to do something similar on GTC because, you know, heading into all these major championships, we have a lot of different things to talk about, a lot of different perspectives we can bring on these tournaments. So I think that's something that we'll have to bring to our shows. But hey, this is our first Masters recap show of the week. So many storylines from the week that was at Augusta National. Let's kick things off with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger. Everybody knows one.
Well, right after Scottie Scheffler won the Players' Championship, we immediately started to look ahead to the Masters and looked at Scottie Scheffler and thought, this guy is arguably the biggest favorite since Tiger Woods in his prime back in the mid-2000s. And, well, Mark, what happened? Scottie Scheffler won by 4 shots. What impressed you the most about Scottie Scheffler over the week?
Well, you know, I mean, you and I have been talking about this a while, but we haven't been able to talk about it in this format where we can let it breathe a little, as opposed to saying, you know, we've got 60 seconds to wrap a thought. And I started thinking back to all of our Scottie Scheffler conversations in the last 12 months, you and me and Bob, and we just, you know, sitting around Golf Talk Canada having these conversations. And we all agreed, and then we kind of did some deep digging on numbers as to, you know, if this guy just putts, you know, a half a shot to a shot and a half above strokes gained in putting, what he would have done last year. And it would have been a 6-win to 8-win season that would have included Players' Championship, at least one major, if not multiple majors, and a FedEx Cup, let's not forget. But he couldn't do it, and he was stubborn, one would suggest, in making a putter change. I think that's accurate. It took a couple of wasted starts this year before he finally said to Ted Scott, I think I need to see a putting coach, and I think I need to make a change and work on some stuff, and went to a mallet spider putter. And now we're seeing it. We're seeing what it looks like when he's just a decent putter. When he's just a good putter, not the best putter, just a good putter. Arnold Palmer Invitational, Players Championship, wins the Masters again by, you know, more than 3 shots. The first player to do that in 3 years, and I forget, forever in a day. What impresses me, Adam, is when one part of his game is not working, another part takes over. Two of the first 5 greens yesterday, what's he do? He gets up and down when he needs to, when his ball striking isn't there. Then when his ball striking turns around, what's he do? Birdies 9 and 10. Holes that everybody else are making disasters on. Makes smart choices on 11. Great solid shot on 12. Homa, you know, collapsed on. So other places where guys were collapsing, when his ball striking turned around, he took over. And while he was waiting for his ball striking, the other parts of his game held him in there. It was very impressive. And you and I were joking, because I know you're a big odds guy and you're all over the FanDuel, and, you know, you're our best guy at when it comes to trying to figure out where there's value in that world and where guys might, you know, show up. And I said to you and Bob, when he won at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, I said he will show up at Augusta somewhere between plus 300 and plus 500. And he was plus 4, right? He was 4-1 by the time we got to Augusta. And now look at him moving forward. He is 4-1 or 5-1 in futures in perpetuity at the moment.
It's unbelievable to think what he's done. And you mentioned the strokes gained putting, 22nd for the week at the Masters. So to your point,
what was the number, Smalls?
What's that, sorry?
Do you have the fraction? Was it plus 1 at that number? It would be data golf, correct? Because we can't really get it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. He was plus 0.45. So
there you go. I said if he's a half a shot above strokes game to a shot and a half, what he's going to do, he didn't even get a half a shot. Think about that. He wasn't even at the half a shot. He just thought, basically, he was on the proper side of zero. And look what he did.
Yeah, it's a crazy accomplishment to do what he has done. Scottie Scheffler, 2 Masters in the last 3 years. We're going to continue talking about Scheffler, but first, let's hear Scheffler's perspective after winning his second green jacket in 3 years.
It's hard to put into words how special this is. It's been a long week, a grind of a week. The golf course was so challenging, and to be sitting here wearing this jacket again and getting to take it home is extremely special. Yeah, the Sunday morning was definitely different. Instead of just me and Merritt at the house, I had a couple of my buddies with me, and we sat and relaxed. Tried not to think about golf, but it was increasingly difficult. But, you know, they were great support for me this morning. It was a long morning, but it was well worth it. I'm glad to be sitting here now. I drove the ball really well this week. I was hitting it hard. Today was a day where I was able to swing freely, and around this place, I mean, distance is very important around this golf course. The fairways are fairly wide, and when the greens are this firm, you have to have short clubs going into these greens, especially with the little areas there are to where they put the pins. And so I would say I was swinging a bit harder this week than I would at a normal PGA Tour event, just because there's a bit more room off the tee. At a regular tour stop or U.S. Open or something like that, my tee height may be a little bit lower and I might be hitting more different types of shots. But a lot of the drives I hit this week, I was just teeing it high and hitting it hard. That's pretty much it.
All right, Adam, I want to get into a little bit now of what you and I were chatting about on Masters Primetime. Because you said to me on Masters Primetime, Mark, I'm putting a number at 1.5 for majors moving forward for the year on Scottie Scheffler. Now, we've got to be careful. Because in this business, we like to overreact to the things we just saw. Like the latest thing we've seen is the greatest thing we've ever seen. But I'm going to scrub that statement, Scully. Because to me, this is a three-year period with Scottie Scheffler. Not a later. This is a three-year period with 8 to 9 months in the middle of that where he chose to not use, chose to basically putt with a blindfold. Like he could have completely been on a major three-year run right now that we haven't seen since Tiger Woods. But he putted with a blindfold. Okay, the stubbornness is behind him. He's still a young man. He's 27 years old. So he's learned a lesson now, okay? He's learned a lesson. He's moving forward. We're going to go to Pinehurst after the next major. Next major is Valhalla. Turtleback, Donald Ross greens. They are large in square footage by design, but the effective area of the greens are some of the smallest on the planet. You know, I would suggest that the effective areas might even be smaller than Pebble Beach, pretty close. Why do I say that? You know what I'm talking about. We take a turtleback green, you take a salad bowl, you flip it up and down, right? There's not a lot of actual area to keep the ball on the green, or for that matter, to even cut hole locations. Knowing what we know about his short game off tight lies, we just saw it this week, short game off tight lies, there's no rough at Pinehurst. Knowing what we know about his iron play, you heard what Ted Scott said in the post round. I'm picking targets with Scotty that are so fine in like a square foot to 2 square foot region. And that's how exact we get with his iron play. Knowing what we're moving forward to, I've given him the U.S. Open. So I'm putting the number at 2.5. So let's go. First, I'm going to go back to you. I've got over 1.5 for sure. So over 1.5 or under 1.5 for you. And knowing what we know about the U.S. Open, could it be more?
So when you say more, are we thinking Grand Slam?
Well, listen, I'm not going to talk Grand Slam until we get through Valhalla. Because to me, Valhalla and the Open Championship are wide open. Why do I say that? Valhalla will be a much more traditional PGA Tour layout. And when you play a PGA Tour event, they tend to be wide open, right? You know, they're very fair in their setup. They allow for a wider dispersion of player to have an opportunity to win. So I think at Valhalla, you could see, you know, a surprise at Valhalla. You could see a Sahith Vaghela. You could see, I mean, it's so wide open, right? And then the Open Championship, a lot depends on Mother Nature, right? Did you tee off in the storm? Did you get the right side of the draw? Like, more luck comes into play with Mother Nature, bounces, hops, than any other major than the Open Championship. I would say I love the Open Championship for its tradition and what it means, but I would suggest to you that the Open Championship, maybe identifies not only the best golfer that week, but the luckiest golfer that week, the Open Championship. So now we're down to the U.S. Open. So, I mean, that's the one where I've given it to him. Now, if he wins at Valhalla, now we've got something crazy to talk about. So, 1.5, over or under, Adam?
Wow. I'm going to take the under. I mean, we've seen recency bias in the past. 2 years ago, Scottie Scheffler won for the fourth time of the calendar year. In fact, it was the fourth time in 42 days when he won the 22 Masters. What did he do the rest of the year? Nothing. John Rahm, last year, wins for the fourth time. You can get a bit of a theme here. What did he do the rest of the year? Nothing. However, Scotty Scheffler, you can tell he is different. Had any player ever defended at the Players' Championship until this year? No. What did Scotty Scheffler do this year at the Players' Championship? Well, he came back from five shots in the final round to win. So I'm going to take the under at 1.5. I do think he will win another major this year. But with the amount of strength we have in the game right now, I would say there are other players who are primed to either win their first major or add to their own major legacy. But 1.5, it does seem, I don't know, it seems far-fetched to me.
So you're saying this is his last major of the season?
Sorry, what was that?
So you put the number for the total for the rest of the year at 1.5, like total, not 1.5 more, 1.5 in total.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
you don't think he's going to win another major this year? You think that's it? He has not shot over par this year.
Yeah, I know. It's tough, right? Because you watch him and he didn't even celebrate after winning the Masters. It's like, all right, I just did it again, right? You know, he let out a woo about 10 seconds after he won the thing, but I don't know.
Other than his natural abilities, Scully, like other than his gifted abilities and the work he puts in technically as a ball striker, etc., his superpowers, I believe, are two things. He doesn't identify himself and the value of himself as a golfer. It's something he does for a living, and he detaches himself from that, and there's power in that. And his faith. I mean, I wish I had that, you know, that something external where you truly believe that, hey, I've put in all the hard work, and I've done what I can, and the rest is not up to me. There is a freedom in that faith that is pretty awesome. Could you imagine, Adam, going to the first tee in any competition you ever played and feeling like you have done the work and someone else is guiding you, or someone else will now determine the outcome, that you have really no choice or power over the outcome? The freedom to that, in my mind, is a tremendous tool in the tool shed. Would you not agree?
Oh, it has to be. I mean, for even before the tournament, he was talking very openly and highly about his faith and how he's just so dedicated and so committed to it. And even in his press conference afterwards, after winning last night, Scheffler mentioned how, you know, he just wanted to really get the media done and go see his wife and get out of there. And you wonder, you know, how much the pressure really affected him, if at all, in the second nine there, because you see his other fellow competitors, double bogey for Oberg on 11, double bogeys for Morikawa on 9 and 11, Max Homa the double on 12. I know that was a really bad break, but it's a double bogey regardless. But, you know, Mark, you've covered this game for quite some time. Are you getting Tiger vibes here in terms of dominance, in terms of aura atop the leaderboard on a Sunday afternoon?
Yes, and it's different. So I don't want to like, you know, make it a direct Tiger comparison, because I don't believe it's that. But I do believe it's similar in the sense that players look up on the board, they see Scotty Scheffler's name, and they just start to do math. When it came to Tiger, it was like this Darth Vader type presence, right? It was a dark intimidation that they're like, this guy's going to kick my butt, right? This is like, you know, Chuck Norris vibes. Adam Scully squatting or bench pressing vibes is what they were getting, okay? Just pure fear that he's going to crush us, okay? This is a different, this is guys doing math. These are guys, they look up on the leaderboard, they go, okay, so this guy hasn't shot an over par since last August, okay? This guy won the Arnold Palmer. This guy won back-to-back players. So they start going, okay, so he's not going to gift me anything. So now I've got to go start doing things that maybe I didn't have planned. Maybe I got to shoot at a flag that I didn't want to shoot at. Maybe I got to birdie a hole that I didn't have sketched out to birdie. And that's when things go sideways. That's when you hook it in the pond at 11. That's when you misjudge the wind on 12 or take one more club instead of one less club. And that's when those things start to happen. And I think that's the scenario where we can relate it to Tiger. The result is the same. Guys start doing things they didn't want to do, and guys start pushing and poking in places they didn't want to push and poke. It's just different how they got there. You know, it's not like they're scared of Scotty. It's not like they feel the heavy presence of this big Tiger, you know, on the leaderboard. It's that they look up and they just do basic math and they go, uh-oh, I know I've seen this movie and I know how it ends.
You know, I had a lot of things on my bingo card this morning, but comparing Scottie Scheffler to Chuck Norris was not quite on the tip of my tongue, I must tell you. But hey, here on Golf Talk Canada, we tend to relate things in different ways. But for Scottie Scheffler with the win, needing the second fewest starts to win two green jackets in Masters history, both times he won by at least three or more shots, just the fifth Masters champion to do that. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll get into some of the notables. We'll also get into the course setup at Augusta National. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Back inside GTC, Scully and Zacchino here. Coming up in our next segment, we are going to talk about some of the notables who came up just short to Scottie Scheffler, whose historic run is continuing in a big, big, big way right now. Three wins in his last four starts. The tournament he didn't win, oh, just a T2, one shot out of a playoff. But Mark, when we look at Augusta National, we know the Sunday traditional setup, the pins where you can go out and score. Hey, Scottie Scheffler made six birdies in the last 10 holes en route to winning. But overall, what did you think of the setup throughout the week at Augusta National?
I think they've made this golf course too long, Adam. I really do. I think they've eliminated a lot of the field. Look at Brian Harman's week this week. Over the years, they've added yardages where they didn't really need to. Like 11 is crazy. Like I've seen guys hitting fairway medals into 11. And I just thought the golf course was on the edge a lot of the week. Now, Mother Nature, you know, winds were crazy, it was dry, it was hard, so I get it. But it felt to me, and I was texting back and forth with Bob, and I'm like, Bob, this feels more like a U.S. Open than a Masters. And, you know, Scotty finally took over, made a ton. How many birdies did he make in his last 10 holes, Sculls?
It was six. Like
six, right. So it finally turned into a Masters for one guy, but it didn't turn into a Masters for the rest, you know? I think they need to dial it back a little bit. We'll see. Let's see what they do. You know what's so funny is the changes they made on 13 have ended up being counterintuitive. In the last 2 years, more players have gone for the green on the par 5 13th than they did in the previous year, in the previous two Masters. So what they're saying there is guys, although it's much longer, guys are no longer having to shape it around the corner. A lot of times, with the exception of a few players like Bryson and whatnot, most guys, the majority of the field now, that's just a straight tee shot or like a little soft draw. So they have removed the skill set of really having to turn it around the corner. In fact, Morikawa hit soft cut into 13 every week in the middle of that fairway, played a cut into a perfect spot on 13. So I don't know if they really got what they wanted on that change. How do you feel about 13, and where were you on setup? Like, would you like to see more roars on the weekend in general? Because then we can get roars till Sunday.
Yeah, I think the wind had obviously a lot to do with that, for sure. Even, you know, when I stood a week ago today walking Augusta National, I stood on the back of 11, and it was into the wind, and I saw Gary Woodland and Mike Weir, who were playing a practice round together. You know, Gary outdrove Mike by 75 yards on that hole. It was a little into the wind, and to play that hole into the wind, it's already a par five. You got water left. We saw so many players falter and make double down the stretch on Sunday. 13 to me, I like it a little shorter, honestly. Like, it's the risk reward. We see players wanting to play a swooping draw over. I mean, Rory had 187 into 13 in the final round on Sunday. He did four putt for bogey from there, but we'll get to Rory a little later in the show. That's a topic in itself. But Mark, what I'm hearing from you is that instead of a golf ball rollback, the ball needs to go farther. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm not saying that, but I am saying this, Adam. I mean, do you not think that this kind of proved our point that there's nothing, like, the golf ball is fine? Like, we don't need to touch the golf ball. I have never suggested in a million years, by the way, because people, you know, go, the idiots on social media, want, you know, try to put words in your mouth. And they're like, well, do you want an 8,000-yard major? Do you want the golf ball going another, you know, 20 yards further in 10 years? I have never once said that we should allow the golf ball to continue to advance the way we have in the last 20, 30 years. Just like when we froze the driver, I was fine with it. I didn't want to roll it back in 2007, 2008. They didn't say we're going back to drivers from 1992. They said, guys, we're at the ceiling. We are where we are. If you want to find an extra 1 mile per hour or an extra 2 miles an hour, you got to do it through different ways. And guess what our friends at TaylorMade did? They went to new geometry. They found a mile per hour in geometry. Then they found new materials to use in the face. They got rid of titanium. They found another mile per hour there. But they weren't making leaps and bounds like, hey, guys, we found 8 miles per hour over here. Yippee, right? Then they changed the golf ball. They found a couple miles per hour in the golf ball. So they pushed their engineers and challenged them more. I'd be fine to do that with the golf ball right now. I'm not an engineer, I'm not a scientist, so I can't tell you what the math is here, but there is math somewhere out there to say, to do with the golf ball, just like we did with the driver. I'd be fully behind that, fully behind that. But I don't know why you want to go back, they're suggesting going back over 25 years right now. I think that's ridiculous, it's insane. And once again, what we saw all week proved that we don't need to do it.
I couldn't have said it better myself, and hopefully cooler heads do prevail from that, because it's just ludicrous that they're even thinking, strongly considering doing this. Okay, enough about the golf ball rollback. When we come back here on GTC, a lot of notables coming up just short, including Ludvig Åberg, who this time last year was playing university golf, and now he finished solo second at the Masters. We'll discuss Åberg, Morikawa, Homa, and the notables next.
This segment of GTC presented by TaylorMade was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit weathertech.ca.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Zacchino here recapping the Masters. Before we get to the notables this week, you'll notice that Bob isn't here with us. Bob is traveling home from Augusta National as we speak. And Mark, I saw something on social media this morning that honestly, it terrified me. And that's Bob took down a dozen egg salad sandwiches. Why does it terrify me? Because having 12 of those is quite something, but it's actually one fewer than last year. So it appears Bob is actually improving.
I did see that on social this morning. Well, hopefully he's okay. And Bob, I think we've got to get an update Wednesday. I think Bob's getting ready for something. Like, he's got something on the calendar run-wise, and that's, you know, But I could be wrong, but I could swear he was telling me this. We'll get caught up with Bob on Wednesday. But listen, thankful it wasn't 12 pimento cheese, or he could be in the hospital right now if it was 12 pimento cheese.
I mean, there's a lot of ways I could go from there. I must tell you, I don't think I mentioned this on Wednesday radio to TV. I did something at Augusta National. I combined two sandwiches. And I don't know if that's allowed, but I did. I took an egg salad and the classic chicken, and I sort of morphed them together into a Super Sandy.
I think I would like this.
Like all it needed, maybe some Franks, maybe a dab of ketchup, maybe.
Maybe. I did something interesting the other night. Actually, it was the other day. I combined lemonade with vodka and a shot of grenadine, and apparently it's called an azalea. And I know this is probably stunning to our listeners this morning, but yes, yeah, vodka and lemonade. Who would have thought?
Oh man! Speaking of guys enjoying themselves, Max Homa had a pretty funny clip that we're actually going to hear a little later in this segment, talking about how he's going to debrief or cool off after his Masters. But anyway, lots of notables coming up just short at the Masters. First off, Ludvig Åberg, the runner-up finish, second place. Before we discuss the young Swede, let's hear from Ludvig Åberg.
First of all, playing here at Augusta National is a dream come true. Just to be in this situation and to feel the nerves and feel the pressure walking down the last couple of holes is what you dream of. This is what I've been wanting to do for such a long time, and it's quite surreal to actually have the opportunity to experience it. But I'm so proud of me, myself, and all the people in my team and my family and everyone involved. As a competitor, you should expect those things from yourself, and that's the same with me. I felt like coming into this week, I felt like I was playing well and I was swinging the way I wanted to. But you know, there's so much more to golf. There's a lot of things that needs to come together, and I felt like we did a lot of good stuff the last couple of weeks. We've been working on a few things, me and my team, my coaches, and it's nice to see that kind of come through on this stage, and to know that I'm able to pull off a certain amount of shots and hit the putts the way I wanted to. And it's just very encouraging, and I want to do it again and again, I think.
Well, Ludvig Åberg impressed a lot of people over the weekend, and he's been on our radar for quite some time, Mark, ever since the RBC Canadian Open last year, when he made his professional debut, to when we got to spend some time in Hawaii with him a little earlier this year with our friends from Team Adidas. It's very clear this guy has a cool, calm, and collected mindset playing in his first major down the stretch. Just how impressed were you by Åberg at the Masters?
Not surprised at all. Like, literally not surprised. On Thursday morning, we talked on our Masters coverage about, you know, Fuzzy Zeller, 1979, how a first-timer hasn't got it done. And I said that we've got two very different first-timers in the field this year. Wyndham Clark, who just had a couple of real rough spots, debuting at the Masters as a U.S. Open champion. And I said, we've got Ludvig Åberg, and he's 24, and he's just different. He's built different. He is unfazed. He is so cool, so calm. And let's be honest, one swing. That's all we're talking about here. Was he going to win this Masters? In the end, probably not. But it was just one swing on 11. If he doesn't rinse it on 11, this is a duel down the stretch, a tight duel between Ludvig Åberg and Scottie Scheffler. And who knows? He was the only one to hang in there, really, for the entire day. Everybody else kind of just tumbled down the leaderboard. Let me ask you a question, Scully.
Okay.
If you and I and Bob were picking tomorrow our team for the PGA Championship, I've got Scottie Scheffler and Ludvig Åberg on my PGA Championships team with one other player, which at the moment right now is open for debate. I still like the way Xander Schauffele performed this week. I still think Xander had another good major. I think he's going to be there again. Another guy that does things simple. There's not a lot going on. Simplicity. Ludvig, simplicity. Scotty with, you know, minus the footwork, simplicity. Is who's on your team right now? I've got, like I said, I've got Scheffler and Oberg right now locked in on my three picks for Valhalla. Who's your team if it was tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tough not to take any or either of those two for sure. And, you know, some of the other players definitely got messed up or by the draw. The wind that Friday afternoon was crazy. I mean, the way Wyndham Clark has played this year, he'd be someone I'd be looking at for a place like Valhalla, someone a little different too. You know me and Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, these guys, you know, Brooks Koepka didn't have a great week at all and looked like he really struggled with the flat stick, Mark.
Koepka, if I had told you, like, what were the odds of Brooks Koepka and Jose Maria Olafable tied Sunday night? What are the odds of that?
Do you think Brooks Koepka could bench press Jose Maria Olafable?
Yes, I believe that. In fact, I believe that might be happening this morning.
It's funny about Jose Maria Olafable. He, when I was on property last Saturday, I walked on to right by the practice chipping and putting area, and there were two players in there last Saturday. So, you know, days before the tournament, Jose Maria Olafable and Mike Weir were grinding away last Saturday afternoon, which was that was pretty cool to see. But anyway, Jose Maria Olafable will come up again a little later in Winners Weird and What. Now, someone who hasn't had a lot of success in majors at all was Max Homa. But Max Homa had a great week at the Masters. That break on 12, just such a bad break. Hitting it long over the green, had to take an unplayable double bogey later. Let's hear now from Max Homa.
Yeah, really good. I thought I handled myself great. Didn't make any putts. Really didn't feel like I blinked. Would love, the ball in 12 not to go in the foot of Ivy. But, I mean, I hit a good shot, and I just think I did that all weekend. Scotty's an amazing golfer. It's really impressive. Obviously, I was going to need to play some spectacular golf today. Did not, but I thought I played some really good golf. So I'm proud of that, and it was a really fun weekend.
What do you think tomorrow will feel like?
What do I think tomorrow will feel like? I haven't drank in a really, really, really long time. I've been planning for Sunday after the Masters. So probably not great.
Would be curious to see Max Homa's whoop score as all the guys on tour use whoops, and to see how the noggin's feeling this morning. Perhaps a Caesar or, I guess, a Bloody Mary in the U.S. what might help him. But Max Homa's the guy who, Mark, I'm looking at for the U.S. Open. Again, you know, he plays really well, especially tough setups where Max Homa went, 34 holes without a birdie at the Masters and still had a chance to win. What did you see from Max Homa?
Yeah, you know, so funny you said that. That's exactly what I was saying, Adam. I mean, you and I are looking at this the same way. He played the style of golf that plays well at a U.S. Open, right? I mean, long stretches of golf without giving away anything back to the field. You know, you just kind of chip away, you chip away, you hit fairways, you hit greens, you chip away, you chip away. Hard to win a Masters that way. It looked like he could win a Masters that way if Sunday played the same way as Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But we eventually got to a Masters that started to look like a Masters, where it was like, okay, you know, we got to take care of the par fives. You're going to have to shoot at some flags. You're going to have to make something happen. And, you know, you're going to have to chase Scotty. But for 3 days, it looked like his U.S. Open theory, and I call it a theory too, because he laid up all week on par fives. I mean, so this was an implemented strategy. He said, and I heard him say multiple times, I'm a good wedge player. So if I'm a good wedge player, then why not play to my strengths? So I'm with you, Skulls. I'm starting to think that, you know, if he continues to trend well, play some good golf over the next month and a bit, should be on our radar when we get to Pinehurst.
A great showing for Max Homa. Got a bad break on 12, but a lot of really good golf down the stretch. I'm very impressed with Max Homa here. We've been sort of almost waiting for this a little bit with Max Homa at major championships, but a great performance nonetheless. Now, someone who's had an interesting year is Colin Morikawa, who got off to a good start at the Century, but since then, a lot of MIA, makes a driver change, makes a putter change mid-tournament, but in the end, two double bogeys in three holes derailed Morikawa's chances at the Masters. Let's hear now from Colin Morikawa.
Greed got the best of me. Nine, can't miss it over there and can't leave it in the bunker. 11, just tried to hit too perfect of a shot. You know, it's not like at that point I was trying to press. I mean, I knew where I stood, but it's just, you know, can't do that. And, in the past, you know, I haven't done it, but kind of where the game's at, you kind of find your little stride. So, you know, we put a lot of pieces of the puzzle together this week, but, you know, after watching Scotty this week, I know what to do if I really want to, you know, close this gap on what he's doing and how impressive he's playing.
So Morikawa, a good finish at the Masters. And, you know, Mark, he put a new three-wood, new driver, switched a putter, and not even switching putters, switching like the style, went from a mallet or a spider back to a blade. Mm-hmm. Given the year Morikawa's had, what did you think of the way he performed throughout the week at the Masters?
Well, you know, I've been picking him to win this tournament for 3 years. And this year I didn't pick him. And I said to you, I said, oh, you know who's going to win this tournament? It's Morikawa. Because the year I don't take him, he's finally going to do what we've all been waiting for. And the reason I pick Morikawa almost annually is it's a second shot golf course. And we talk about it. It's the players with strokes gain approach that are going to get this done. It was the same reason why I thought Ludvig Åberg was the guy to beat on Sunday, other than Scotty Scheffler. You know, Scheffler was the obvious. But Ludvig Åberg on Saturday blew the field away in strokes gained approach. He had those irons dialed in, and he did on Sunday too, except for one swing on 11. He was brilliant again with the irons. I think this was a huge step forward for Morikawa. You and I both thought he was going to have a big kind of comeback year this year and get out of the funk. He's been open to that. The cut is back. The cut is obviously back. I love the equipment changes. I love the fact that he he's out of the old driver. He was still playing that Sim 1. He went into a new QI10 driver, 3-wood, new putter. And he summarized it, I think, really well, Adam. Greed got him. Greed got him on 9. You know, he missed the fairway right. He threw it in the bunker. And you don't take your medicine. What you've got to do from that short bunker shot at 9 on that really severe angle is take 6 out of play. You just hit a good quality bunker shot. If it gets close and you make 4, wonderful. But if it rolls out 15 feet or so and you miss the putt for par and you tap in for bogey, you are still in this golf tournament and you still have a chance to win the green jacket. He tried to just sneak it perfect up over the edge, cut the bottom out from under the golf ball and ripped the cover off and tried to hit the absolute perfect bunker shot. And he got bit. And that's what he means by greed. It just greed got him. And then 11 was just sloppy, same sloppiness that Ludvig. How do you feel about Colin? Do you think that we will look back FedEx Cup time and say, that's the corner being turned at Augusta for Colin Morikawa?
Well, yeah, when we spoke to him in Hawaii at the Adidas launch, he said he was hoping to win 3 times in 2024, coming off the win at the Zozo last fall, represented the U.S. at the Ryder Cup. And I think his comments were very well said, the greed, because he saw Scotty Scheffler on 9 hit an incredible approach shot that actually probably got unlucky it didn't go in. And he tapped in for birdie. And Morikawa thought, hey, I've got to try to hole my bunker shot, basically, right? Because I think if that shot he hit, his third shot from the greenside bunker, had flown another yard and a half, it's trickling down towards the hole, and he has at least a putt at par. But, you know, you got to think of Morikawa here. He's another guy, U.S. Open. You know, if his iron game is back, if he drives it the way he does, relying on that cut, he's someone else, Mark, that we're going to look at here. And, you know, when you look at, like, the President's Cup a little later this year, that Team USA is shaping up big time, you know, with Scheffler and Morikawa and Homa and these guys, you know, maybe even a guy like Bryson, I know rules might have to change for that, and we'll have much more on LIV golfers later in hour two as well.
But I thought his stroke looked good too, Adam. I thought once he made the switch, like he made a lot of 7-8 foot putts Friday onward that went in the middle of the cup with some speed. And to me, that's always a good sign, right? I hate to see balls limping up and catching edges. You know, with all the best putters, it's got a couple feet in it and it's going in the middle. And I thought that was good for Morikawa too. So I think you're right. I think I forgot what he said to us in January too about the three wins. That totally left my brain. So we'll see. We'll see if this is the Morikawa getting on track that we all expected.
Yeah, well, Morikawa looking for big things in 2024. Okay, we're running late here. Coming up, we will tee up hour two. That's coming up next right here, GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Wrapping up hour one here. Don't forget, sign up for 20 weeks of TaylorMade. Check out the link in our bio, both on Instagram and X, as the cool kids are calling it now. We're giving away three major prizes for our first week of 20 weeks of TaylorMade. You can find out who won tomorrow morning on social media as well, GTC TV and radio. This week, shout out Team TaylorMade. Scottie Scheffler gets it done, his second green jacket in the last 3 years. Well, that wraps up hour one here on GTC. To kick off hour two, we're going to talk about two notables. What went wrong for Rory McIlroy? The major drought continues. I'm sensing a rant might be happening in hour two. And Tiger Woods, what is going to happen next for T-Dub? All that and more coming up in hour two right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour 1 of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit GolfTalkCanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Golf Talk Canada rolls on hour two, the back nine here on GTC. Adam Scully alongside Mark Sacchino. Bob Weeks will be back. He is currently on a plane on the way back from Augusta. He'll be back GTC TV first airing tomorrow night and then throughout the day on Wednesday as well as GTC Radio. Okay, coming up in hour two, we'll continue to discuss some of the notables, the Canadians, players from LIV Golf who came up short. We'll also have our Masters winners, weird and what. But in this segment, we're going to talk about Tiger and we're going to talk about Rory. Mark, who would you like to talk about first?
Well, let's start with Rory, Adam, because I think Tiger, I mean, we got to keep perspective on Tiger. There is no perspective for Rory, is there? Is there anything other than pure disappointment? If you were going to, listen, Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy both played four rounds of golf. Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy both are disappointed with their tournament. But yet, I'm willing to give Tiger still a solid grade of B. Because this guy doesn't play golf anymore. He could barely walk. His body's destroyed. I hope Jeff McDonald isn't listening this morning because I don't want to hurt Jeff's feelings. But I think we are at the point in Tiger's history where we have come to a meeting in the road where you are either healthy enough to put the work in and healthy enough to play more golf. And he said he can't wait to hit the gym and can't wait to get to do some work on Valhalla. So he's speaking like he's going to put the work in. But we have clearly come to a point in the road where showing up once a year or twice a year, is that time has passed him. That is clear. But I'm going to give this guy a B, Skulls, because he shouldn't even be here anymore. He shouldn't be able to walk. Never mind play golf. Rory McIlroy, there's no perspective. This is shockingly disappointing. At this point, I don't have any answers. I know it's emotional. I know it's mental. We've talked about it all year. I said to you and Bob time and time again, he has a concentration issue. He has a block. The wires are not connected properly. I am going to suggest something to you that I suggested to Lindsay off camera this week. And this is going to be, like, people are not going to agree with me. They're going to think I'm nuts. And they're going to think that I'm grasping for straws. But you know what I think Rory McIlroy should do for Augusta? Not for the rest of the year, not for the majors, just for the Masters. I think he should take a year off. I think Rory McIlroy should skip the 2025 Masters. I think he needs to get as far away from this golf tournament as possible. It has become obviously too overwhelming. Obviously, the elephant in the room is too big. He can't stand the questions anymore, the attention. He has showed up early. That hasn't worked. He has showed up late now. That hasn't worked. He has played very little heading into the Masters. That hasn't worked. He has played a lot. Well, more so than ever before this year. That hasn't worked. He has tried to not try to win the golf tournament on Thursday. That hasn't worked. Let's try to get out to a hot start and get this done on Thursday. That hasn't worked. Nothing, I repeat, nothing has worked in 10 years. Go away. You have two choices when you're in a bad rut with your golf swing. You and I are hitting it sideways, right? We have three or four games in a row where we want to puke all over our shoes. We can't stand looking our face in the mirror on the way to the golf course. You have two options. Play through it and work harder, or take a time out and walk away, because a break from the game is often what you need, okay? Rory's been playing through this for 10 years. I say walk away.
I mean, I kind of wish we were on TV right now. I don't really know what to... I mean, you saw my face there when you said he should skip the Masters. Wow. I did not have that on my thought heading into today. I was more... Wow. I think, I mean, something has to... Like, he's got to change the cat. I mean, take a local caddy, show up Thursday morning. I don't know. But something... I mean, he was in the bad side of the draw. You can say that. That's one minuscule excuse. You look at the final round. We said this on Saturday night as we were waiting to record Masters primetime. I said, I guarantee Rory's going to finish in the top 10 after a good Sunday. Well, what does he do on the second hole? Hits a great shot. Hits this huge drive, 378 yards on the second hole. Hits that to 10 feet. Eagle, right? No. Easy two-putt? No. Three putts from 10 feet. 13th hole. Hits it 346 yards around the corner. Looks like a long drive champion. Hooks it around the corner. 187 yards in. Four putts. And now, to your point about Rory taking a break, well, he's doing the exact opposite. He's playing this week at the RBC Heritage. I know, it's a signature event. And then he's playing in the Zurich. He's not stopping because, as he said afterwards, he's loving golfing at the moment. Uncle, I don't know, dude. Like, this is just, it's a weird time.
I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth right now. I believe he's trying to convince himself of that. And I do believe there's a separation from his week at Augusta versus the rest of the year. I do believe by the time we get to Valhalla, he'll be happy and happy to be there and probably playing well. In fact, he's won there before. It's the scene of his last major championship. There's a good chance that Rory walks away with the PGA Championship in May. That wouldn't surprise me. But Augusta is an isolated animal. Let me ask you a question, Adam. What are the two best rounds of golf you played in 2023, personally speaking, off the top of your head?
Okay. Well, I mean, our win at the member guest is
all right.
I mean, for
right.
And my other, at the end of the year, I shot even. I birdied 5 of the last 11.
Where was that?
Bayview.
Okay. What about Aviera with the Albatross and the crazy?
That was very strong start of the year. We won't talk about the other 17 holes, but the Albatross was pretty.
Well, also made a bunch of eagles that day on par fives as well.
There were some low scores and there were some numbers. Let's put it that way. Right. Yeah.
All right. So what did you, what did you have in common about being at Aviera, about being at the Toronto Hunt member guest, about being at the places where you shoot your best golf? You're excited to be there. You want to be there. You, if someone asked you to be somewhere else, you tell them, no, this is fun for me. I'm having a great time. I want to be here. Do you think Rory McIlroy is finding joy the week of the Masters? Do you think he likes being there? I don't. I think Augusta has turned into circumcision for Rory McIlroy. It's the last place he wants to be, and it is agonizingly painful, and one slip of the iron and things could really go sideways in a hurry. And if he takes a year off from Augusta and doesn't go to the Masters in 2025 and sits at home and watches it on TV and isn't there, I wonder, I just wonder if a part of his brain will say, yeah, you know what? I've never won it. And yeah, I've performed like crap, but being at home really sucks. And you know what? I finally realized that I'd rather be there playing in that tournament, regardless of result, than sitting at home on my sofa. Because right now, he doesn't want to be there. I'll tell you right now, he has no desire to be there. He pretends he does. He goes up because he's playing for immortality. He's playing for the career Grand Slam. He's one of the best players in the world. Who qualifies for the Augusta and chooses not to go? Nobody. But if you were to get him transparent after a couple of drinks at lunch with Shane Lowry, when he's asking Shane Lowry to play in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, and ask him, do you have fun at Augusta? Do you enjoy being there? And see what he says? I bet you right now he hates it.
You know, every time we do this show, I'm not entirely sure where the conversation is going to go. I didn't think Chuck Norris would be mentioned today. I didn't think circumcision was going to be mentioned on Golf Talk Canada. But hey, here we are. We're just recapping a little golf tournament, 72 holes. Rory McIlroy comes up short again. Okay, let's hear from Rory McIlroy shortly after his final round.
I don't really know what to say. Just sort of, you know, felt like my game was okay and managed it pretty well, but obviously the Friday was a really tough day, and you know, losing, you know, 5 shots was you know, sort of put me in a pretty difficult position going into the weekend. So yeah, it was a, you know, just, and then, you know, the conditions were pretty tough. The greens are crusty and firm and hard to get the ball super close and hard to make a ton of birdies. So you know, once you sort of get, you know, 7 or 8 back going into the weekend here, it's hard to make up that ground. I wouldn't say, I guess it's just more the same of what I've shown this year. You know, it's not as if it's been a down week in comparison to the way I've been playing. It's just a matter of me trying to get, you know, get my game in a bit better shape going toward the rest of the season.
Well, Rory McIlroy, the major drought continues. Mark, we've had the conversation about caddies with Rory. Is that something where, you know, maybe even for Augusta, we saw Tommy Fleetwood play well with a local looper because usual man was had an illness. You wonder whether it's a local caddy at Augusta or whether Rory calls up Bones, for example. He's available.
Listen, I love Harry. I think Harry's a great guy. I think Harry gets a bad rap. You know, he's doing the best he can. And, you know, he's not forcing Rory to make that decision. He's just been offered a job with his best friend and doing it to the best of his ability. So this is not on Harry by any means of the imagination. But yes, I mean, I think a veteran caddy with a strong presence to guide or reinforce decision making on the golf course, to reinforce certain things like that, could be a real support system for Rory right now. Not just at Augusta, Adam. I think really moving forward, because unfortunately for Rory right now, and the reason he hasn't won a major in 10 years, is Rory plays his best golf when it really doesn't matter to him. He said this week in the early round press conference when he shot 64 last year in the final round that's some of the most fun he's ever had on a golf course. So when he's having fun, he shoots 64 because he was out of it. But here's the problem. You know, professional golf isn't fun, right? I mean, it's a job. And it is, look at Scottie Scheffler. You saw a fist pump. On what hole did we get the three fist pump?
13 on Saturday.
13 on Saturday, and then we got another one at 18 on Saturday. And then we got nothing from Scotty. Stoic until the 72nd hole on the 18th green. He was stoic. Tiger Woods was either punching your face in with fist pumps through the air, or he was an assassin. So, you know, just Jack Nicklaus did not speak inside the ropes. Ben Hogan, the Hawk. Okay? You see the theme here? Greg Norman, Nick Faldo, zero friends on the planet. I mean zero when they were playing at their peak. With the exception of Arnold Palmer and you know, there's been Arnold Palmer, there was Phil, Lee Trevino. Very, very, very rare personalities can play that game that Rory's trying to play. I mean, if Rory just wants to be, like, if Rory just is going to bring his best golf when he's lollygagging it, the major drought's going to continue because majors aren't fun. Majors are tough, and they are gut check time, and they are mentally challenging, emotionally challenging, physically challenging. And I don't think he's prepared to take on any of those things right now. I think he has a very good chance of beating this drought at other majors where it's not as big of a deal to him. But Augusta, no. I don't know. Do you think there's any validity, Adam, to what I'm saying? Do you think he's got any joy when he shows up to that first tee on Thursday? Do you think he wants to be there? Because to me, it looks painful to Rory right now when he shows up at Augusta on Thursday.
I would say he's definitely stressed. I think he would want. I think he wants to be there as a professional athlete, as a competitor, because he wants to prove everyone wrong. Is he having fun there? Probably not, because he's not playing well. But I don't know. It's something that, like, something needs to change. I think it's a caddy that's got to be number one. But we'll have to remain and see for Rory McIlroy. Again, Valhalla, that's where he's defending. Or not defending. That's where the PGA is in a month, and that's where he won his last major, Mark.
Let's go and you and I get in a spaceship and fly to a fictional planet that doesn't exist for a second. How many green jackets would Rory McIlroy have if he had the faith of Scottie Scheffler, where he was disassociated with the result, thought that he didn't have, you know, he's put in the work, and, you know, a higher power is going to make the outcome, you know, has already decided what things are going to happen. And my value as a human being is not associated at all to whether I win this green jacket or not. Because I think he'd have five green jackets if he had Scottie Scheffler's mentality.
Yeah, with that, I mean, the beliefs, and you could probably say that about a bunch of guys too, right?
True.
Maybe not five green jackets, but, you know, I mean, Rory remains to be a mystery in my mind, but hey, he's going to Valhalla in a couple of weeks or a month or so now, where he won back in 2014. That was Jim Nance's famous call, a shining star at sunset, when he won his last major title. Okay, before we go to break, I want to hear from Tiger Woods, because we talked about Tiger briefly at the start of the block here. Let's hear now from Tiger.
It was a good week. It was a good week all around. I think that coming in here and having not have played, you know, a full tournament in a very long time, it was a good fight on Thursday and Friday. Unfortunately, yesterday didn't quite, you know, turn out the way I wanted to. Today, the round that I, well, the way that Tom is playing is what I thought I had in my system. Unfortunately, I just didn't produce it. This is a golf course I knew going into it, so I got to do my homework, you know, going forward at Pinehurst and Valhalla and Troon. But that's kind of the game plan. It's always nice coming back here because I know the golf course. I know how to play it and kind of simulate shots. But granted, it's never quite the same as getting out here and doing it, right? Same thing. I heard there's some changes at the next couple of sites, so got to get up there early and check them out.
Tiger Woods planning on playing the next three majors. When we come back here on GTC, we'll discuss some of the LIV players who came up short in their pursuit of a green jacket, notably defending champion Jon Rahm, Brooks Koepka, and Bryson DeChambeau, who had a pretty crazy week, to say the least. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit cobblebeach.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Zacchino here. 3-dub coming up in our next segment. And when you look at the leaderboard at the Masters, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players under par in the end. And two of them were from LIV Golf, Cameron Smith and Bryson DeChambeau. Before I ask Mark about Bryson DeChambeau specifically, let's hear from Bryson.
Doesn't help starting 2-over through 3 in the final round of the Masters. But you know what? It was a positive step in the right direction for me out here. Learned a lot about my game and knowing that I can do it out here. Just got to conquer the putting a little bit more and make sure my speed control is better, because I'd be right up there where Scotty is now if I just wouldn't have three-putted and made a few more putts. Ball striking has to be just a little bit better. Have to take advantage of the par fives. I did not take advantage of the par fives this week. That was a big weak point. Felt like I played par fours nicely, and the tough holes that I usually struggle on, 10, 5, 11 even, I did my job this week with that. And just really disappointing on the par fives, especially with where I drove it today, all week. 13 was a little weird. I got a mud ball today, but just that's golf, and you're not going to have everything perfect. And a lot of good experience that I gained this week. I'm very proud of myself.
Did you say just one piece of advice to you, Bryson? Maybe don't take a huge bite out of whatever you were reading there and then answer a question.
I have it on good authority, Adam, that he stole an egg salad sandwich from Bob Weeks right before that interview. Just don't want to start any rumors, but sources on the ground, multiple, have told me that.
It all makes sense now. Okay, well, Bryson has been a hot topic in the world of golf really ever since he came on the scene, and his previous best finish at the Masters came back when he was an amateur, and he finishes 2 under par. And so all in all, a very good performance by Bryson DeChambeau. And Mark, he was a big story with the different irons that just got approved by the USGA governing bodies on Tuesday. But overall, when you see this performance by Bryson DeChambeau, what's your outlook for the former big, bulky Bryson as we look ahead to the last three majors of the season?
You know, it's amazing to me how much his speed is still there, even though he's not bulked up as much. He's still big, bigger than he was when he, you know, won at the John Deere Classic many moons ago. You know, a lot of people don't like Bryson DeChambeau. I say a lot of people. I mean the viewers, the golf fans, social media. I'm not talking about people physically out there on the ground or his playing partners. He can get some negative press once in a while because he's so different. I find Bryson intriguing. I really do. I find him interesting. To me, he's one of the six or seven guys that I think I miss that left to go to live, that I wish were still on the PGA Tour, because I think different is good, and you could never argue that Bryson isn't different. I think he hit the nail on the head when you hit the driver as long and as straight as he does. You need to take advantage of par fives. It's so confusing that he couldn't take advantage of the par fives here. That's a huge problem for Bryson and anyone at Augusta if you don't take care of the par fives. The new irons, I think his pursuit of technology and looking at different ways to do things, I think is fun to follow. You know, bulge and roll's been around for 100 years. Why hasn't anybody tried bulge and roll in the face of the irons? I'd love to talk to our friends at TaylorMade. I'd love to talk to some guys down at Carlsbad and hear what they have to think about bulge and roll in an iron. And have they ever thought about it? And if so, why or why not? Has it not been, you know, implemented? You know, I thought by now that we might even get twist faced in an iron, for that matter, right? You and I were talking about that a couple of years ago. So I'd love to have that in-depth conversation. I think Bryson's super interesting for trying it. The one thing, Adam, I'd love your take on, the single-length iron. He's been a single-length iron for a long guy. And to me, there's a lot of benefits about a single-length iron, especially for the higher handicap and mid-range handicap, because if you can't consistently find the bottom of your swing and bottom out at the same point every time, how are you going to be a consistent ball striker? You're not. And part of the reason that amateurs find it so difficult to hit the ball so consistently is that because with longer clubs, the bottom of the swing's moving around on them all the time. So single length irons really solve a part of the problem there. That being said, he had a hard time with his distance control, especially on short irons. How many shots did we see him flight well over the green with iron, 7-iron, 8-iron, 9-iron wedges down? A lot in 4 days. And I'm wondering if a pitching wedge or a 9-iron or an 8-iron that's the length of a 6-iron, regardless of how they change the spin, move the center of gravity, etc., in the face to compensate for the longer club, regardless of that, is there just too much speed at the bottom with a long, with an extra long 9-iron, an extra long pitching wedge? Because how many times this week did you see him miss deep? I didn't see him miss many short, Bryson. When he was off with his irons, I would say the majority of the time, I didn't see anything pull up shy. I just remember him flighting it through everything and being well off the back of every surface.
Yeah, the longer shaft there with the shorter clubs, de-lofting it too, definitely. I mean, who knows the loft on his irons? We saw Bryson hitting, he hit an 8-iron into 10 from 209 yards, and that's an uphill approach shot. And I know he's got these different, looked like they were LA Golf graphite shafts too, I want to say, in the irons as well.
They're bricks. They're telephone.
To your point, Mark, he's just so intriguing. Like, I enjoy watching him. I really
Me
do.
Too.
Because he's different, right? He's not chipping it out there. He's going to go at it hard. And, you know, you watch his ball speeds and well over 187, 190, 192, that sort of thing. But, you know, Bryson had a good finish at last year's PGA Championship, played well this week. I mean, who knows? For Valhalla next month, Bryson DeChambeau might be someone for people to take a look at. Okay, well, we know Bryson DeChambeau did some interesting things as well at the Masters. He is going to come up in Winners Weird and What, and that is coming up next.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first-ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Zacchino here. Well, we really enjoyed doing Masters Prime Time together for the second straight year. And something we did on Prime Time, we brought a little aspects from GTC over, and one of those segments we did was Winners Weird and What. We did it nightly on the show, and now today we're going to do a full edition, a usual edition of Winners Weird and What from the week that was. This week, Mark, you have the team.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, Skulls, you know I love my goats when they acknowledge other goats. You've got Tom Brady, you've got Wayne Gretzky, you've got Michael Jordan, you've got Muhammad Ali, and you've got the Nature Boy. That's right, Ric Flair tweeted out, Tiger Woods, we've never met, but I'm your biggest fan. Darius Rucker has promised me an introduction. It hasn't happened yet. Thank you. Thank you for making this Masters, this entire network, I guess he's talking about the coverage, and your fans so happy. Go out there and kick some butt. Much respect. And, of course, he ends with, woo! The Nature Boy, a huge Tiger fan, apparently.
Who would have thought it? Who would have thunk it, right?
Woo!
There it is.
There it is. You know it, Chris. Well done there. We just, woo the rest of the show.
Yeah, on that, Mark, do you remember when we used to end our shows with the woo?
Yes, we did. So
remember
I
that?
Guess Nature Boy must be a Golf Talk Canada fan as well.
I think we got to bring it back. What do you think?
I think so. Woo!
Woo!
All right. So, Greg Norman this week. I don't even know where to go. What a weird week for Greg Norman. First off, he goes on social media and suggests he could not get a ticket or an invitation to the Masters. He had to buy one. Then Fred Couples goes on social media and says, Greg, if you need a ticket next year, just call me. I'll get you a ticket. So Fred Couples poking the bear. Then Greg Norman goes on social media and says what a wonderful week he had walking outside the ropes, that his hand is sore from the thousands, Adam, the thousands of handshakes and the thousands of people that have come up to him to thank him for continuing live golf and everything he's done for golf and to not give up. Thousands of people, which tells me that there were thousands of more Liviots. That's my new coin, new phrase
oh.
I've coined, Olivia. I knew you'd like that. There were thousands of Liviots at Augusta National than there has been at any tournament on American soil. Because there's like, what, a couple dozen Liviots when we show up at a live event? And now there was thousands of Liviots with badges at Augusta. To give me a break. Adam, what, did he have, what, two handshakes that have turned now into several thousands of Liviots?
I'm thinking we get Liviots on a t-shirt. That's the first thing that's coming to mind. Yeah, but certainly weird. You know, Greg Norman, he's got the big brimmed hat on, so he wanted to be recognized, obviously. It wasn't like he was going there with a low ball cap on and big aviators. He wanted to be shown and or seen, I should say. And, yeah, a little might have been a little exaggerated. He's done that in the past, hasn't he?
Well, thank God he was clothed. He likes to be naked on the front of magazines and whatnot. So
yeah,
at least he was clothed. I guess we take our small victories when we can get them. Okay, my what this week, what will Bob do next? That's right. The great Bob Weeks, our fellow family member and co-host here on Golf Talk Canada, author, Hall of Famer, reporter, broadcaster, marathon runner, and now, as seen on TSN, early round coverage of the Masters, Bob Weeks, meteorologist. My favorite moment of our Masters coverage, Bob Weeks in front of the weather screen, doing his best weatherman, talking about, you know, the highs and the lows, the this and the that. I see maybe a late career change for Weeksy coming up. What do you say, Scully? Did you love Bob, meteorologist?
I really did. I think, you know, that was a highlight for me too. And the man can do it all. The man, he does a lot of research. He does a lot of studying. He always shows up to all of our shoots, radio, TV, with copious amount of notes. So I'm sure if Bob can put his mind to it, I think Bob could be a pretty good meteorologist.
Well, you don't know this yet. Our listeners don't know this yet, but I spoke to Jeff McDonald. And now, starting Golf Talk Canada Wednesdays, it's Bob with weather, Adam with the traffic, and yours truly with the winning lottery numbers. Okay, Adam, that does it for me. The tee is yours.
348. Oh, man, that is sweet.
This has been one show from the memory books for sure. A lot of things mentioned that I didn't think were going to make it to air.
Livia, hey, Livia, we need Livia, a t-shirt.
Livia. We had that. We had Chuck Norris. We had circumcision. We've had a lot of things discussed on this show. Anyways, my winner this week is Jose Maria Olazabal, who made the cut this week. And not only did he make the cut, Mark, he tied two guys who won major championships last year, Brooks Koepka and John Rahm. He tied these guys. That is remarkable to me. And I mentioned this earlier in the show too. Last Saturday when I was at Augusta National, first stepped on the property, walked over to the practice area. Jose Maria Olazabal was there grinding on his short game. So awesome to see a good win for the old guys here. Okay, my weird for the week. We discussed this on Masters Primetime. Some of the outfit selections.
Oh,
I mean, what on earth were some of these athletes thinking? Let's start with Sergio Garcia. Shows up Thursday morning. He's got kind of a light green shirt. Okay, it's the Masters. I get that. But he's got the yellow pants on. In what world do green and yellow go together? Mark, you always say the first good decision on the golf course starts in the closet. Was Sergio getting dressed in the dark, perhaps?
We're going to need 12 minutes this week on Golf Talk Canada Television for Winners, Weird, and What. When it's the three of us, we're going to need 12 minutes. It's going to be, just for the visuals of your weird alone. Sergio Garcia looked like a rejected Riddler from the Batman universe. I mean, like, sorry, no, next. What is that? Horrible.
Yeah, so that was one. I related it to a bottle of Sprite or maybe Elf. You know, a couple of those. So that's Sergio. And then, I mean, shout out Sergio, kind of dressed like a Canadian in round two with the red pants. Those were, I mean, Mark, you had some red pants on last night, which you couldn't see on air. But
we called it Country Club Chip. Remember? That's what we're calling those red trousers. Country Club Chip.
So there's that. And then there was Jason Day. I mean, you know, I just, Mark, you know me. I mean, I'm one to, you know, wear pants that might be a hair on the tight side. I wear shirts that if I mix in a quick gun run right before, I couldn't give you a hug. They're a little snug. But J-Day had on pants that were so baggy. I think, Mark, I'm probably 50 pounds heavier than J-Day. I think I could fit two of me in one of his pant legs. J-Day, what on earth? How do you think that looks good? Honestly.
It's horrible, and I'm personally offended because I'm taking this as a direct attack on your Schmedium revolution. We all know you are in a Schmedium, and Jason Day, I believe this is jealousy of your guns and jealousy of your time in the gym, and this is a direct, yes, this is, Adam is flexing, he is hulking up, he's going to tear his shirt on and say, what you going to do, brother, soon? This is a direct, put it this way, he has shot one over the bow in your direction here, Adam. I think at the RBC Canadian Open, we're going to have a little sit down with Jason Day.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, we know last week the boys on Overdrive had some fun at one of my my shirts I was wearing last week for Tang Tuesday, as we call it, at Augusta. And I will say, to those listening, to those who had questions, I do wear a large. I just wanted people to know that. But sometimes the larges, they feel more like mediums. So I'm just going to. Anyway, my what this week, someone who,
when the largest arms in the world in Hulkamania destroys you.
Chris is on it today. Chris is on it today. Are you kidding
me? The MVP of the show has been Chris, for sure. Chris, you worked first up this morning. You're on hour six, I guess, of working now. Man, you're on fire this morning. So kudos to you, my friend. Okay, my what this week is someone who has played on the PGA Tour in probably a size small and probably a size medium, probably a size double X to a triple X. That's Bryson DeChambeau. Now he's down to probably an XL, maybe a large. Anyways, Bryson this week is my what for some of the more interesting antics that went on the golf course. One of the rounds, he was trying to move patrons out of the way and did a whole like cha-cha slide where the club, his whole body went right across, which was really weird. Hopefully that sound effect came across on radio. And the 13th hole, Saturday, hits his tee shot so far right, he thought the way to make birdie, which he did, by the way, is hit his next shot down the 14th hole, but there was a sign in the way. So what did Bryson do? Instead of asking a security guard or someone else to move it, he just said, ah, I got it. He lifts the thing up himself. Now, the interesting thing about this, Mark, is he claims it was only 35 pounds. I don't know about you, but it seemed a little heavier than that, no?
I just love him ripping it out of the ground, putting it over his shoulder. He looked ridiculous. But again, this is what I mean. Like, this is why I miss Bryson. I mean, it's a circus at all times. And sometimes the circus is really good, like it was at Wingfoot. And sometimes it's just craziness for the sake of craziness. But it's never boring, Adam, is it?
It's never boring at all, which is great. And to your point about 3Dub needing to have some time for television.
Yes, 12 minutes.
This week. Yes, that's why in the commercial break, we'll be doing some shifting around some of the time slots because we're going to have a lot of fun on 3Dub this week. I can't wait to show some of these outfits that were bizarre. I can't wait to hear Bob's take on his newfound role as meteorologist of Golf Talk Canada. I know he's excited about that, hopefully, but we'll have to get his opinion on that later this week. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, 20 weeks of TaylorMade, it's back. We're giving away three major prizes. We'll tell you how you can win next.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
Well, stay tuned to our social media channels for upcoming giveaways with our friends from Adidas Golf. Time now for some leaderboard updates. Leaderboard updates brought to you by Bushnell Golf, the number one rangefinder in the world of golf. Check out bushnellgolf.com for much more information. Scottie Scheffler gets it done. Third win of the season. Third win in his last four starts. He wins the Masters, joins some elite company of players who have won multiple green jackets. Later this week, it's the first LPGA major at the Chevron Championship. Nelly Korda looking to win for the fifth straight tournament. How about Brooke Henderson also looking to get in the mix this week? We'll have a full preview of the Chevron Championship coming up Wednesday here on GTC. Well, Mark, 20 weeks of TaylorMade. We're back. It's back in 2024. And this year, it's easy for people to win. Tell our listeners how they can win.
You just go to golftalkcanada.com. That's it. GolfTalkCanada.com. Look for the 20 weeks of TaylorMade tab. You can't miss it. It's right there slapping you in the face on the homepage. And just register. Register for your chance to win $35,000 in prizing, including the grand prize, full set, TaylorMade. Get treated like Rory for the day, trip for two to Casa de Campo, and a round of golf with Adam, Mark, and Bob at the home of the RBC Canadian Open out in Hamilton Golf and Country Club. So grand prize alone is worth $15,000. And I don't even know if we can even put a price tag on the grand prize because priceless to golf with the team of Golf Talk Canada. I mean, like how I know there's people that would line up for hours and get wristbands and go in a lottery for something like that, Adam.
And as we discussed, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, the winner will be my partner in the match against Team Weeksino, so they can experience firsthand what it's like to see a 200-yard dispersion from left or right, unless some of these swing changes, which our control room absolutely loved. We were on the set waiting to shoot some segments for Masters Primetime. We were both standing up. We were both given swings. We were trying to rotate the pelvis, everything all together. Anyway, looking forward to golf season. Now, Mark, I know you are on the course in, an hour or so?
Opening day at my golf club, the Toronto Hunt Club. So I am playing this afternoon, 9 holes, with my dad and our buddy Darcy, who you know. And we're going to go out and kick off opening day at the Toronto Hunt, 9 holes. Supposed to be 17 degrees and sunny this afternoon. So looking forward to smashing the champagne, christening the Canadian golf season.
There you go. Well, we'll have a full recap of your first round on Canadian soil in 2024. That's coming up on Wednesday. Well, our first Masters recap show is now in the books. You can watch us tomorrow night, TSN2 at 10:30 p.m. We're back on the TSN Radio Network Wednesday, 10 a.m. right here on the TSN Radio Network. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
Woo! This segment of GTC presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network.